Entrepreneurs, small business owners, professionals who seek excellence, bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builder Show. Here's Marty Wolf.
We still got a long way to go. Yes, we all got a long way to go.
Welcome to our show. I am Marty Wolf, your host for the Business Builder Show. Joining me is my sidekick, Mr. Kerry Carney. Hi, Kerry.
Good day, Mr. Wolf.
And our producer, Mr. Tom Jenkins. Hi, Tom.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Another member of our team, Dr. Tony Massari, will be offering his comments later in the show. Our show is for entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals who seek excellence. We offer tips to help you build your business on the topics of technology, innovation, finance, leadership, personal development, and sales and marketing. We are working hard to earn your trust so we can be a valuable source of information to help you build your business and your career. Kerry, we had some demand for what we're going to do today. Part of our show will be about books and authors that we have interviewed on the show in 2013. We'll do a couple of reviews on two books that we feel are relevant for the audience. We thought about this. We discussed it, which books would be not necessarily the best of, but what we thought was most relevant, right?
Yes, yes.
And so we're going to go deep on a couple of them, and we will also mention some other books towards the end of the show that we think are noteworthy that you'd want to hear about. To kick off the show today, we wanted to discuss, Kerry, an article that you found recently, and because of the topic of the article, which is lessons in leadership, and the fact that our friend and colleague, Dr. Tony Massari, is working on a documentary about Medal of Honor winners, we thought we would add these leadership thoughts to a show about learning. So what you found, Kerry, is an article, Lessons in Leadership, and then colon from a janitor. Interesting,
yes,
subject matter. So tell me about it.
Well, actually, I re-found this.
Okay.
Found it a long time ago. And it's from the Wharton Leadership Digest. Okay. From December of 2001. Now, mm-hmm. Some of you might be saying, whoa, this is old.
Mm.
But I look at it that this is grounded so much in principles of life.
Mm-hmm.
In principles of leadership. And it was written by a Colonel James Mosgat. He was the commander of the 12th Operations Group, 12th Flying Training Wing in Randolph Air Force Base in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And when this gentleman, James, Colonel James, was a young cadet back in the 70s, along with about 100 other cadets going through their educational and training program, they noticed, and barely noticed, an older gentleman that was the janitor.
And barely noticed is the way to start this out, because it kind of sets the stage, right? He
Absolutely.
Was their janitor in the Air Force Academy.
Absolutely.
All right.
And when I'm saying barely noticed, they noticed the work he did. The place was spotless.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally when these young cadets were rushing, trying to get their educational work down, their training down, their physical education, they would sometimes bump in or say hello to this wispy general or wispy gentleman.
Yes.
He was almost shy. And they would be polite and say, good morning, sir. And he would look at them and kind of say hello or just nod, but go about his day just making the facility spotless.
After all, we're in the Air Force Academy, and he was just the janitor.
Just the janitor.
Right?
Yes.
And then something happened that kind of changed that thought process?
Yes. One day, as a cadet, James was looking through some history books of World War II,
mm-hmm.
and he came across a gentleman named Mr. Bill Crawford. And it ended up that the janitor was a Medal of Honor winner from World War II over in the Italian conflict.
Mm.
Well, this guy's eyes almost bugged out of his head. His chin hit the floor, and he just had to run and tell the other cadets, "Hey, do you know who the janitor is?"
Here's what he said. "Holy cow," I said to my roommate. "You're not going to believe this, but I think our janitor is a Medal of Honor winner." Holy cow.
Right? What a shock that must have been. Right. Because, again, he was just the janitor.
Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, we're going to have a hard time with his last name, so we're going to keep referring to him as Colonel James, who wrote this article, correct? As a result of that, he felt that there was some real leadership lessons in this.
Absolutely.
And so what he did is he put something together. But before we even get to that point, because I saw this, and maybe you're going here, Kerry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but
no.
There was, once this got out at the Air Force Academy, were things different? Did people treat him differently? Did Bill Crawford relate to the cadets a little differently?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The young cadets revered the janitor with the new information they had.
Right.
Bill Crawford, the Medal of Honor winner, the janitor, after he found out the boys knew, or the young men knew,
right,
what he had done, he had more of a spring in his step.
Mm-hmm.
He stood upright. He even talked a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
That the respect issue had taken him out of that realm of just a janitor. But not being boisterous, the cadets found out.
Mm-hmm.
But there was definitely an elevated respect on both sides.
The cadets now saw him as one of their teammates. A whole different point of view. The article points something out that I think is important for this discussion. As often happens in life, events sweep us away from those in our past. So, Kerry, let's talk about some of the lessons of leadership, and I think there are 10 of them, and you did a good job of setting this up. And first one says is, be cautious of labels. He was the janitor.
Yes.
And they kind of look at it that way. But boy, be cautious of labels. And this relates to a military story, but does it not relate to business?
Absolutely.
And life? So be cautious of labels, and says, be cautious of a leader who callously says he's just an airman or he's just a janitor. Be cautious of those kinds of leaders. Everyone deserves respect.
Number two is so important. Well, and they showed him respect because this person was doing a great job in keeping their facility clean, but there was much more to the person to show respect for.
Show respect to everyone. Everyone deserves respect. Number three, courtesy makes a difference. I love this one because we've all been around bosses or those kinds of folks who almost ignore us unless they think we're important. But courtesy makes a difference, as we already said. Bill and the cadets were different once they found out that Bill was a Medal of Honor winner.
And in there they say, just a perfunctory hello isn't enough. It has to be heartfelt. Your demeanor and personality has to really make a difference.
We have so much more we're going to cover in this. However, we said at the beginning of the show that we're going to go a little deep into a couple of books that we reviewed and authors that we reviewed. So we will be right back with the Business Builder Show, and we're going to talk about To Sell as Human by Dan Pink and The Power of Consistency by Weldon Long. We'll be right back.
Bringing the business classroom to you, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builder Show. Kerry, today we're doing something that our audience has somewhat demanded, and that is we're going to talk about a couple of books. I guess we'll call them book reviews. And the first one we're going to talk about is Daniel H. Pink, To Sell as Human. And again, I want to point out that these aren't necessarily the best of. These are books that we feel are most relevant for our audience of entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals who seek excellence. So we are talking about Daniel H. Pink, To Sell as Human. The subtitle is very important. The Surprising Truth About Moving Others subtitle is really important. So let's talk about this, Kerry. You good with you on board with me, man?
It is a fabulous book.
He starts out the book by talking about that he evaluated how he spent his time. He spent a couple weeks and really charted where he spent his time in terms of the phone calls, who he talked to, what
emails. Typical work day.
And what did he find out in studying that time? He found out that he was
a salesman. And he really sat back and it opened his eyes.
It did. And he goes on to say that it's not like he's selling cars or those selling appliances, but what is he doing? He is always trying to coax others to part with their resources. He's always trying to influence or persuade someone.
And resources can be time, money, various efforts.
Yes.
Getting kids to do homework.
Yes. You got to love that, huh?
Yeah.
You know, in the audience, we hear all the time that, and it always surprises me, but people say, you know, this is a great parenting show. I go, like, I don't get that. But I guess what you said, Kerry, is that it's some of the things we talk about in terms of persuasion certainly relates to your children or your
spouses.
Or
moving others or attempting to move others.
That's correct. So he makes the point that we all are always pitching somebody something. And when people hear that they might be labeled as a salesperson, what's the reaction to that? And Tom is smiling.
Not me.
Hell
no.
I want no part of that salesperson stuff.
Shifty, hand in my pocket.
Yes.
Trying to get over on me.
You weasel, you.
Right.
No way, Jose.
However, Dan Pink, from his book, To Sell as Human, The Surprising Truth About Moving Others, says, you know what? We're more a salesperson than we think we are.
I always go back to the baby routine. We were born salesmen. When we wanted the bottle or we wanted to be changed, we cried out and asked for the order. Change me. Feed me. And then somewhere along the lines, we stop being salesmen or don't sharpen those skills.
He talks about, this is a book about sales. He says it's a book about sales. He said we need to reevaluate how we look at sales and how we look at salespeople. He says Kerry? 1 in 9 workers still earns a living by trying to make a purchase. That's an official salesperson.
Official salesperson.
Right? So he says, well, what about the eight of the rest of us? What's the rest of us, which is the 8 of the 9? He makes the case that we're all involved in what he calls non-sales selling. We're persuading, convincing, and influencing others to give up something they've got in exchange for what we've got. He moves in the book, and we're just kind of going through the high points because we really want you to take a look at this. We want to go through the high points. He talks about some keys to understanding what he talks about as a workplace transformation. He talks about three keys, Kerry. Do you see the three keys that we're talking about?
Entrepreneurship, elasticity, and EdMed?
Yes, and entrepreneurship. Let's kind of give the folks what's entrepreneurship all about? It's simply people are moving out on their own. They're taking first steps. They're engaging people in terms of that leadership position, in terms of going into business for themselves or encouraging others to come to their way of thinking.
They're in the river, and they're letting go of the rock, and they're floating down, bashing into things.
And that is a good way to look at it. They're bashing into things. And so that goes to his next point, which is elasticity. As you're being thrown about down that river, you need to be elastic. And he makes the point both as individuals and as companies. We need to be able to do different things. And in entrepreneurship, the part of entrepreneurship is that entrepreneurs do so many different things and they wear so many hats. And elasticity is somewhat that, but it's also the fact that even in big companies, there are different people. No, HR is not only just HR. They have to be involved in so many things. And EdMed is a space that we may ignore in terms of job creation, but it's about education and medical or healthcare. That's where the job creation is occurring in those fields, as opposed to what most people think about in terms of technology.
Marty, there was one quote that Dan had in there that most people are devoting up towards 40% of their time on the job moving others. That's sales.
That is sales. Now we're going to move on to something else that I know is near and dear to your heart. Carry the ABCs of selling, and the old view of that was
always be closing.
And the new way of looking at it, according to Daniel H. Pink, is
attunement, buoyancy, and clarity.
Correct. What is attunement? Attunement is simply being more attuned to what's going on around you.
Individuals, groups, in the whole context of what you're trying to accomplish.
Doing your research, being prepared, be either for a sales call or to encourage your spouse to take out the trash. How do you set that up? You know, you need to be attuned to everybody's needs, right? You're both smiling. So a commentary?
Well, I don't ask my wife to take the trash out after she said I'm a lazy good for nothing.
Yes, yes. Well, and I did say spouse, so, you know, but I see your point. But you need to, attunement is the new way. Buoyancy is the next in terms of ABC. Buoyancy. And in the book, he talked about the salesperson from the Fuller Brush
Company. Fuller Brush, the last of the Mohegans.
And what he talked about was that this particular gentleman, who's still selling for Fuller Brush, said, I need to be buoyant. I need to be flexible. I get a lot of no's. I need to hang in there. I need to be buoyant. I need to find ways to keep myself positive. Makes a lot of sense, right?
Yep.
The third part of ABC is clarity, and it is exactly what it says. It is, you need to know what your mission is. You need to be clear on what you are really trying to engage people with. Did that make sense?
Yeah, we've moved from solution selling to actually finding the problems down the road a client or prospective buyer might have.
Let's make sure that point comes through. Selling and persuading is no longer solving a problem. It's finding a problem that needs to be solved.
Because of technology, you know, he talks about caveat emptor, the buyer beware.
Yes.
We have moved to caveat venditor, which means the seller beware.
Yes, we are talking about Daniel H. Pink's book, To Sell as Human, The Surprising Truth About Moving Others. Finishes out the introduction, and we can finish it out this way. He said, by the end of this book, I hope you'll become more effective at moving others, but equally important, I hope you'll see the very act of selling in a new light. Selling, I've grown to understand, is more urgent, more important, and in its own sweet way, more beautiful than we realize. Now, I'm a professional salesperson. I love that. It's more beautiful than we realize. Salespeople, and that's entrepreneurs, and that's everybody in the world today, if we're moving others to our way of thinking, which is hopefully a good way of thinking, we're positive, we're going in the right direction. Daniel H. Pink, To Sell as Human, The Surprising Truth About Moving Others. We need to move on. We're going to be taking a short break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about another book, The Power of Consistency by Weldon Long. We'll be right back.
Bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Informing, educating, and encouraging. The Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Welcome back to the Business Builder Show, and we are, I guess, reviewing some books that we feel are relevant for our audience of entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals who seek excellence. We, in the first segment, we talked about Dan Pink's book. And if you'd like to hear the entire show with Dan and our interview with Dan, which was fabulous, by the way, Go to businessbuildersglobal.com, businessbuildersglobal.com, and just scroll down till you find April 27th, and you can hear our entire interview with Dan Pink. Now we're moving on to another book that we feel is relevant for you, our audience. It's a book, the title of it is The Power of Consistency, Prosperity Mindset Training for Sales and Business Professionals. I'm starting to see a theme that I didn't think about earlier, Carrie. Sales seems to be this the universal theme here.
We're moving others.
We are moving others, but it just hit me that we are, and that's all of this, persuasion, and life is about persuasion. So, Weldon Long is the author of The Power of Consistency, and right in the beginning, in the introduction of his book, he has a quote. It says, "Circumstances do not make the man, they reveal him." And that's from James Allen, from his book, a while ago, As a Man Thinketh. So, Weldon Long starts his book, "Circumstances do not make the man, they reveal him." Carrie, if you'd feel comfortable, introduce us to Weldon Long.
Weldon picked a fantastic quote to start his book because he is living that quote. To give you a little background, once upon a time there was a man who had destroyed his life by age 32. This is Weldon.
Mm-hmm.
He was a three-time loser, incarcerated for about 16, 17 years, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Drugs, alcohol, and the pursuit to get over on people was the only thing that satisfied his base desires.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else in his life was someone else's problem, and he tried to move and get around it, fake it, do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Broken marriages. He was blessed with a son that he didn't see for many, many years. And while he was incarcerated, he kept saying another quote to himself by Ralph Waldo Emerson. "We become what we think about all day long." In those early 32 years of his, all he thought about was his base desires. Getting high, getting away from it, not facing up to the facts.
And now he's in prison.
He's in prison.
And he's thinking this quote, "We become what we think about all day long," from Ralph.
Waldo Emerson's words.
We become
what we think about all day long.
Wow.
He had a monstrous transformation. While he was in prison, he stopped thinking about just doing for himself.
So is it actually possible to become something different merely by thinking about something different?
It's the first step. Then you have to act. And he acted on it. He went to the prison library. He grabbed every book he could find.
What was the first one that I think he saw?
Dr. Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
So he went from this situation and kind of get ahead a little bit. He connects all this in his book. But he started a small company from scratch and grew that company into a $20 million a year company in 60 months. For those of you who want to follow his story a little deeper, his first book was called The Upside of Fear, How One Man Broke the Cycle of Prison, Poverty, and Addiction. But we are talking about his book now, The Power of Consistency, Prosperity Mindset Training for Sales and Business Professionals by Weldon Long. So, what did he do? What did he do, Carrie?
Well, despite being an underdog his whole life, he created a life of honor and prosperity. He was the eternal learner. He read voraciously, and the biggest thing that he encompassed in his life was visualization. Hmm. He planned out that business while he still had 5 or 6 years left in prison, and he worked to that every day.
So he was a learner, and he makes the point. You see, he says on page 8 of the introduction, you see, overcoming obstacles and creating wealth is not a problem with the lack of information. It's a problem with the lack of action. In italics, it says, you just aren't doing the things you know you should be doing on a consistent basis. He says also, welcome to the conundrum of human nature. Knowing exactly what you need to do to increase your sales or grow your income, but not doing it on a consistent basis. We're human beings.
Right. How many in the sales game have prospected and built their, really filled the pipeline and are just running at a great pace, and then they just slack off because they got a couple big commission checks?
How many entrepreneurs face obstacles and they go like, well, I don't even know where to go next. But if you quit, you're not going to make it. You've got to use some of these tools that Weldon talks about in his books. Visualization, affirmations, consistently taking action.
Well, why don't you tell me about fear? What Weldon talks about fear.
Fear is his way of looking at this, and fear stands for focus, emotional commitment, action, and responsibility. So focus should be pretty much self-explanatory, but you have us a little deeper on that?
The focus he had while incarcerated was to be the ultimate learner, going to the library, reading others,
focusing on what he wanted to become, who he wanted to become, a great dad, a great business person. He wanted to be those things. Emotional commitment. You need to emotionally connect to that focus, to that vision. And an important thing in his book that I practice today with success is something that he calls a quiet time ritual. You're writing down the things that you want to focus on. You're writing down who and what you want to become. Finding that 10, 15, 20 minutes to have that quiet time ritual.
It's a meditative state each day.
And we talked about this before. It doesn't mean you have to create some kind of crazy songs, right, Tom? Or do crazy
mantras,
things. It's just finding that quiet time. Action. And a lot of people, what we just said, may see that as the law of attraction. And we sit on the couch and we're going to attract something. Don't work that way.
Sitting and wishing for the red Corvette, you have to act.
You have to take steps. You have to take consistent steps. You write it down. You look at it every day. You think about it every day. And it's really about who you want to become, a great dad, a great business person, to repeat. That's where he was really going. And then the final one is responsibility. What does he mean by that?
Whatever actions you've taken and whatever reactions you receive are totally yours. You own it. It is your responsibility, good, bad, and different. It's your responsibility.
Book we have just talked about is The Power of Consistency, Prosperity Mindset Training for Sales and Business Professionals by Weldon Long. If you'd like to hear our full interview that we did with Weldon, you can find that show on businessbuildersglobal.com, and the show is on August 17th. We need to take another short break. We will be right back. You're listening to The Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Presenting the thought leaders of today, it's The Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Presenting the thought leaders of today, it's The Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.
Tom, let's go to our commentary by Dr. Tony Massari.
Hi, I'm Tony Massari with a thought about learning your way to a better tomorrow. I'm not talking about formal in-class learning. Important as that may be, it's not the only form of learning, and in some cases, it's not the most productive form of learning. Lifelong learning is an attitude, a belief, a best practice that causes one to read to learn, to research to learn, to ask questions to learn, and to engage people to learn. It only requires a desire to get better at the things that matter most in life to you, and a willingness to invest some quality time. In the digital era, opportunities for continuous learning are endless thanks to the internet and a variety of search engines that are available to anyone with a computer. All of us have an opportunity to learn in an informal way from our life experiences. We can learn in a more personal way by working with a mentor and asking for help. We can learn in a painful but powerful way by trying new things and making mistakes. The curious mind has no limits. The persistent mind is always searching for answers, and the resilient mind never gives up on the dream to be more, to do more, and to give more. Marty's life and his passion for this program and the guests he interviews reflect these qualities. The words of Medal of Honor recipient Robert Binette give context and encouragement to learn something new every day. Education is essential to becoming good citizens and learning to appreciate others. For me, that's a prescription for America at its best. For Marty Wolf and the Business Builder Show, I'm Tony Massari with America at its best.
Thanks, Tony, for another great commentary. Carrie, we're talking about an article that you found, Lessons in Leadership from a Janitor. Now, it's kind of a military story, but we're certainly connecting it to our lives, our businesses, et cetera. And so let's continue on. We hit some points. And point number four in Lessons in Leadership is take time to know your people. And he says, life in the military is hectic, and it is also hectic in business. But there's no excuse for not knowing the people you work for and with. For years, a hero walked among us at the academy, and we never knew it. Who are the heroes that walk in your midst? And actually, Carrie, we didn't talk about it at the first segment, but let's make sure we understand and give Mr. Help me?
Private William Crawford.
Correct. Due on exactly what he did to earn the Medal of Honor.
He was a native of Colorado, and Private Crawford took out three enemy machine guns before darkness fell and halted his advancing platoon. Private Crawford could not be found and was assumed dead. The request for the Medal of Honor was quickly approved by Major General Terry Allen and presented to Bill Crawford's father, George, on May 11, 1944. Nearly 2 months after that, they learned that Private Crawford was still alive in a POW camp. During his captivity, a German guard had nearly clubbed him to death with the rifle. Bill overpowered him, took the rifle away, and beat the guard unconscious. To stay away from the advancing Russian army, he helped the prisoners march 500 miles in 52 days in the middle of the German winter, subsisting on one potato a day. An Allied tank column liberated the camp in the spring of 1945, and Private Crawford took his first hot shower in 18 months.
So this was Private Bill Crawford, who went to work as a janitor at the Air Force Academy. No one really knew it until Colonel James E. Moscott found it. And he turned that into this Lessons in Leadership. So let's continue this story, or I guess bullet points in leadership. And it says, anyone can be a hero. I guess we have that proof.
Absolutely. And again, Private Crawford.
And we see them in business all the time. Heroes are all around you. Pay attention. Pay attention. Leaders should be humble. In our sports world today, we do not see that much humility. However, you'll see in high-performing companies, leaders are generally humble, not doormats.
Well, when I read this, I thought of our good friend, retired Lieutenant Colonel Rob Waldo Waldman, and how Waldo knows the importance of the gentleman that's changing the tires on his F-1, F-17 fighter.
Right. Right.
Doesn't seem like a really glorious job, but it is so important when you're coming back to the deck of an aircraft carrier to make sure the tires are okay.
Another point. Don't pursue glory, pursue excellence. If Bill Crawford, a Medal of Honor winner, could clean latrines and smile, is there a job beneath your dignity? Think about it. Every job can be done with excellence. You don't necessarily have to be recognized, but keep, to use the phrase, keep marching on in what you feel is the right thing to do. Keep providing excellence.
I love number nine, and it's in that same vein. Pursue excellence. No matter what task life hands you, do it well. Dr. Martin Luther King said, if life makes you a street sweeper, be the best street sweeper you can be. Private Crawford modeled this philosophy and helped make our dormitory area a home.
Point number 10 in Lessons in Leadership. Life is a leadership laboratory. I love that. And I think it ties into what Dr. Tony Massari had talked about in his commentary. Life is a leadership laboratory. Those you meet every day will teach you enduring lessons if you just take time to stop, look, and listen. Now, these leadership lessons came from a Medal of Honor winner who decided to be, made a conscious decision to be a janitor in the Air Force Academy. Yet, his legacy continues. He pursued excellence. This was seen and recognized by high-performing cadets at an Air Force Academy, and this legacy lives on of Private Bill Crawford. The whole idea of life is a leadership laboratory where you are improving and where you are always focused on excellence. I love the fact that this is continuing on.
I want to bring up the and how this still continues today. Sadly, Private William Crawford passed away in 2000. He was awarded the Medal of Honor by President Ronald Reagan in 1984. He is the only U.S. Army veteran and sole Medal of Honor winner to be buried in the cemetery of the U.S. Air Force Academy.
Where can our audience get this article? It's from you, Harvard. Tell me again where you got
it. It's from the Wharton Leadership Digest. And if you go to that website, look under Lessons in Leadership, From a Janitor.
Excellent. We had we reviewed a couple of books a little deeper. We do want to mention some other books that we feel are very noteworthy. And here are some key ones from Scott McCain, M-C-K-A-I-N. His book is Create Distinction, What to Do When Great Isn't Good Enough to Grow Your Business. This is, would be about a strategy for any size business. Joe Calloway, Be the Best at What Matters Most, the only strategy you will ever need. Leadership, one of our favorites, Kerry, is Walking with Justice, Uncommon Lessons from One of Life's Greatest Mentors by our friend Dr. Molly Marty. And this one really is focused on leadership, profound, deep, lasting leadership lessons like we got from Private William Crawford. Last book I want to mention is has to do with marketing, and it's Do It Marketing, 7 Instant Action Ideas to Boost Sales and Maximize Profits by our good friend David Newman. All of these titles are on our website, businessbuildersglobal.com. Look under Marty's recommendations and businessbuildersglobal.com. Thank you again for being part of the Business Builder Show. We appreciate you taking time to be with us. Kerry and Tom, as always, thanks for your help and support in the studio.
You're welcome. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
And to Tony Massari for both a clear and a very kind commentary. Thank you, Tony. Next week, our special guest would be Lewis Schiff. His book is Business Brilliant, Fascinating. You can find all our shows, they're archived at businessbuildersglobal.com, and look for the book recommendations under Marty's Recommendation tab. We do our best on the Business Builder Show so you can do your best. We look forward to being with you next week on the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf. Thanks for listening. Have a great week and Merry Christmas.
Bringing the business classroom to you, it's the Business Builder Show with Marty Wolf.